want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's Word on Food is The Story of Otto. About a year before my great friend and chosen brother, Charlie Trotter, passed on, he began saving me his weekend collection of the New York Times book reviews. Charlie loved books, and he knew I did as well. It was one of the most common topics of our shared conversations and correspondences over the 30 years we were given to be on this earth at the same time. The book reviews arrived in a thick envelope from his home in Chicago. I knew his handwriting nearly as well as my own. He'd sent me many newspaper and magazine clippings over the years, and he sent me more letters than anyone I've ever known before or since. His postcards were an amazing collection of art, musical heroes, and genius literary figures he admired. Charlie could fit more words and brilliance on a postcard than anyone I have ever known. Around 1979, he sent me a New Yorker magazine with a piece of tape marking the story he wanted me to read. It was written by John McPhee. I was just getting the real fire in my belly for the life of a chef. I was cooking at a place in Key West that was renowned in its heyday, named the Port of Call. Rereading the story, I'd purchased the 1979 edition of it online, it's amazing what can be found, made me realize again why Charlie and I were so taken with the character that McPhee wrote about. The article is titled Brigade de Cuisine. McPhee hid the actual name of the chef. He dubbed him Otto. He also obscured the location of the restaurant or any other things that could tip readers off and send them in droves to the mysterious restaurant. The chef shunned publicity. What a different era we live in now. The chef explained to the writer that he wished to be a person rather than becoming a personality. It was due to that Garbo-esque take that sent the sleuths of New York sprinting to the task of unveiling the mystery of where this man was cooking so that they could experience for themselves if a kitchen god existed among them unknown. And more excitingly to some, if they could knock him off the perch that McPhee had put him on. The details of McPhee's stories are delicious. Oh, but if I only had the airtime to share them all with you. The article begins with a genius construct. McPhee tells we readers of the top five meals he had ever eaten and where. Through the first paragraph, we learned they were all had at the same mysterious farmhouse inn as he describes the setting Otto cooked in. Over the course of the seasonal meals, he had dishes such as smoked whiting in a pale mustard sauce, a dish with emanations of flavor expressed in pork and coriander with a hazelnut breading, smoked roe mousse with aioli. His dedication to cuisine is evident in a sentence like this one. The man's right knee is calloused from kneeling before his stove. He worked alone, with only his wife helping. She prepared the desserts and was the sommelier during service. At that point in life, that was also my dream. From that day forward, until his last, Charlie addressed every postcard or letter to me, Dear Otto. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
How I wish you were here.